Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me. I'm Sebastian, co-founder of Digitail. I'm currently in London, but I spend most of the year either between US or Europe where we have the engineering team. So it's quite a traveling life for me at the moment. Again, co-founder of Digitail. If you haven't heard of it, it's one of the leading practice management systems in the vet space. So we're a verticalized SaaS for the pet care. We work in over 16 countries with both animal hospitals and pet parents around the world. It's been an awesome journey, starting in 2018 and growing ever since.
Awesome. So how did you get into the pet care industry in general?
Ooh, that's a long story, but I'll try to tell you the quicker version. In a previous life, in my first company, where we're doing development for big companies, from mobile apps, websites, apps, end to end. We had one project towards the end of 2016 with a large manufacturer from the vet space. And part of that project, we got the chance to go into 30 animal hospitals and observe their workflows and try to find efficiencies. And Dan, I kid you not, you'd be shocked. If you would have been there with me, you would have needed a chair to sit down. Because from on one side, we're coming from the tech space where you have, you know, you can tap for absolutely anything. But in that world, they're still running with pen and paper or with legacy systems that are 30 years old, things not working. And those stories that I've seen there, that was the inspiration for Digitail and in our search to try to bring more efficiencies to the vet space and giving more time back to the vets to focus on doing what they love, which awesome. Is definitely so, not working on systems. And they love spending time with vets.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess, you know, without mentioning a customer name, if you could just give me an example of like a use case of how one of your customers are using you today and how they're getting value from your software.
Absolutely. So to start with, we're an all-in-one system. So there's a lot of areas where we bring value in the hospital. But to give you a sense, so if you're an animal hospital or a group of animal hospitals, because again, there's a lot of consolidation happening now in the space, you most likely at the moment use different various practice management systems. So where you have the medical records for the patients, and probably a lot of add-ons for online booking system, for pet parents app, for two-way chat, all of them disconnected. And, you know, they're trying to integrate and have an awesome experience. So where we come in is we replace all those tools and we give you a unified all-in-one system where you can finally make sure that your staff doesn't spend time on writing records manually. They can just dictate them directly and they finish everything on time. And that's one of the best things that we're so proud of, is that we get so many messages from vets that tell us, hey, I finally got home on time without worrying about that record that I haven't finished or about that patient that I didn't send the message on time. So all of those, the system identifies the inefficiencies, automates the process end to end, and makes sure that both the hospital staff and the pet parents have a great experience in the process.
Awesome. So how many customers do you have using your platform today?
Well, if you look at in North America, we passed 600. If you look internationally, we're over 1,000 animal hospitals currently using Digitail on a daily basis.
Awesome. So is it like in terms of international, right? Is it like the UK and the US, or do you have people in other countries? Like where are you essentially, you know, where are your customers located in 2024?
Yeah, in 2024. So if you think of countries, of course, United States, Canada, then the other markets where we're growing or where we're already market share leaders would be UK, Romania, Australia, South Africa. And again, then the list goes on. And on, because this was back in 2019 when we started in Romania initially. We just had the first customers there, but then afterwards, shortly, we started getting inbound from all those countries and we started growing in those geographies. And in each geography, once you have a critical mass of users, it becomes a rolling, a snowball effect of a growing customer base.
So how do you convince, you know, like a vet or, you know, like a vet clinic that their current way of doing things is like so archaic that it makes sense that it's that much of like a bottleneck, they should switch over to software, right? Especially as you said, right, in an industry where it's sort of outdated and it's very difficult to get this user adoption. Like, how do you go about, you know, onboarding clients like in that manner?
Absolutely. So when you think about the vet space, you need to think that 65% of the industry is still using systems from the 90s. And the average age of a vet technician today is younger, lower than the average age of your practice management system. So if you think about that clipper that we had in Word, right about the same time these systems were created that they're still using today. So how do you change? How do you convince them to change? Well, at the moment, there's a pain point in the market and they're looking to change. So if in 2018, when we started working on this, people have like cloud was really new. In 2020, when we started going to conferences in the US, we were seeing that if we asked someone, hey, are you interested in a cloud-based systems a system, they would still say, no, not at the moment. But towards 2021 and 2022, what's shocking is that the answer from, again, we're not interested at the moment, it went to, no, we're not interested at all. Then it went, we're not interested at the moment. And then afterwards, we're looking. And then to this year is, oh, we're ashamed that we haven't started looking yet. So there's now a critical mass in the market that's already on cloud and they saw the benefits and that word is spreading. And this is basically shifting everyone towards looking more. So on one perspective, the questions that we're asking now as a company is how do we make sure that the process of onboarding those clinics is as seamless as possible? Because with these type of buyers that are not super technical buyers, for them, this is a massive lift. You need to change your entire system. So the whole question is how do you have the teams to be able to support them in that transition that is are able to speak their language? And for that, one of the things that we did as a company, we made sure that everyone in the client-facing team are people that worked in practice and they can talk the language of our clients and they can understand the pain points that they're going through so they can support them properly in the process.
That's awesome. So in terms of, you know, your outbound method or your sales method, I should say, is it more just going to these conferences or cold email? How are you getting in front of your current customers today?
Currently, 95% of our sales is definitely inbound. So we're getting inbound requests either from clients that are just searching online, but now predominantly from referrals and clients that are using us and, you know, talking with friends. Friends hear about this and they want to hear more. For outbound, again, conferences is one of the biggest aspect. A bit of social media and LinkedIn. So the place, because that's something specific for the community. Again, depending on who your customers are, you need to figure out like what's the area where they spend most time. And for us, it's definitely social media. So we do make some efforts there on those areas to make sure that we're visible and we are part of the conversation.
For sure. So essentially, I guess from my understanding, you have like a really strong SEO, maybe like you're running some Google ads. That way, if somebody's searching for that, and they can find you through Google.
Absolutely. In a nutshell, yes, it's a bit more complicated than that, but in a nutshell, yes.
Awesome. So in terms of this business specifically, like obviously now we're, you know, wrapping up Q1 of 2024, we're about, you know, 2/3 of the way there. So in terms of this year, for it to be successful for you, like what would that look like for the business?
Absolutely. Love the questions. So for this one, we have revenue targets that definitely we're on track to hitting based on what's the progress now in Q1. Because we're a VC-backed company, again, high growth expectations. And what's interesting now with the VC space is that definitely the post is changing a bit with like what's actually more important, you know, the whole discussion about is growth more important versus profitability. So we're lucky that we're in a business where when the moment you have this set up, the system set up for efficiency, the business becomes really strong and the flywheel moves faster and faster. So for us this year, again, revenue goals is one. The second one is creating those efficiencies within the team because we went from an approach where, again, we grew really fast and we're now building the foundation also to support that at scale. That's 2024 would be a good year by finishing with those two.
Awesome. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
I'm thinking back with all the other startup experiences that I had, all of them, I took at least one big learning. Like if the first one was never do multiple things at the same time and commit to one thing, again, goes back to the example, if you ask Bolt or Michael Phelps, like Do you train also in swimming and maybe train in a couple of other ones at the same time? And most likely no, is that they focus on one thing and they want to be the best in the world at. That was probably the lesson for the first one. And then also learning about team. Currently at this stage, I think the main lesson that someone, well, ideally if someone would have told me at the beginning, was definitely go for your, like choosing your segments in the market and going for the best one in the market. Don't settle for what you have with the resources at the beginning. Try to at least reach higher, aim higher from day one. And then the second one is there's a tendency, especially as entrepreneurs at the beginning, to build things that don't scale. And it makes a lot of sense when you open the market. But then there's, I think the action to move towards scalability needs to happen faster. And that's something that it's important to be mindful of. As you start, you see that it works, then quickly move into scalability. Don't postpone. There's always a lot of reasons to postpone. And that shouldn't be the case.
So like, what did you do specifically to move into scalability early on?
Let's see what examples I can give. So simple things like even, for example, implementing a CRM tool, so HubSpot or your tool of choice, like making sure that it's no longer an email that you craft. It's a sequence that you do, that you have templates. The playbook that shouldn't live just somewhere. You should actually embed all the playbook in the processes day to day. Onboarding, again, shouldn't be something static with pages that are being sent, but it should be put in a process, and there are amazing onboarding tools out there. Things like this, where again, you can create that sustainable, like instead of building just for now, for today, think about how to build for tomorrow. Or for example, when we build a new process or we do something that's exploratory, we always think like, okay, if we have a new person that needs to come in, will they get it? Like, how do we build it in a way that if someone new comes in and they need to run the process to be able to do it? So those simple things it's small things, but they're quite impactful. Like if you catch those and you just have the different mindset from day one, you're setting yourself up for success a lot better from the beginning.
That's awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Absolutely. So for following what we do is definitely digitale.com or on LinkedIn or Instagram. Directly with me, you can contact me at, again, sebastian@digitale.io, or just feel free to reach out on LinkedIn. Happy to help at any time.
Awesome. Sebastian, thank you so much for your time today.
Dan, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Bye.